Welcome to the podcast from Gateway Baptist Church. This is a message from our series on the book of 1 Peter where we're challenged to live different. You can connect with us further at gatewaybaptist.com.au.
Well, I am so thrilled to be able to share this message this morning. It's a message that has been stirring on my heart for the past 3 years, and I believe it's something that you can all relate to. It's a message that has been very true to me for... Sorry, hang on a second. Hello? No, Mum, I'm preaching. Mum, will you just be quiet? Mum, I'm in church. Yes, it was this morning. What? Okay, yes. Okay, Mum, I need to go. I need to go. Mum, yes, I'll get the milk. I'll get it on the way home. Okay, all right. Bye. Oh, sorry about that. What was I saying? Oh, don't you find it frustrating? You're in the middle of sharing something and then an interruption comes and you can't get your train of thought. There's nothing worse than being on the stage and keep filling in because you can't get your train of thought. Okay, yes, no, now I remember. I actually want to share this morning about something I struggle with, and that is the inconvenience of interruptions. I find in my life, and I'm sure for all of us sitting here, we live really busy lives. And, you only have to say to someone, how was your week? Or how are you doing today? And they'll say, busy. So I think most of us, time is a very precious commodity. And I found that interruptions rob me of my productivity. An interruption, by the very term interruption, it means we're trying to get something done. We're trying to achieve something. And when an interruption comes, it stops us from producing that which we're trying to achieve. If you're like me, as a busy person, what I find ends up happening is I wake up, I set my alarm, I often hit the snooze button a couple of times, and then my dog needs to go to the bathroom, so eventually I get up to take the dog out, and then the day begins. So there's the walk the dog, have a shower, have breakfast, have time in the Word, start to prepare for the day, and then I hop in the car and I come to work, and my office is back here in Mackenzie, and it's right beside the staff kitchen. And being an extrovert, I get in and I open my computer and I start to glaze over at all the emails and I start jotting things down on my to-do list that just keeps growing. And being an extrovert, everybody's coming in to get their cups of coffee. Well, I naturally have to ask them how their weekend was and what did they do over the weekend, because I live vicariously through everybody else's exciting lives. And then I go, no, okay, now I need to work. And, there's quite a few people getting coffee, so quite a few conversations. Eventually, I knuckle down, okay, onto my to-do list, and then I get a phone call just like that, and it's, one of the staff saying, hey, aren't you supposed to be up in the boardroom for a staff meeting? And then I go, oh, that's right, I forgot, I'm sorry, I'm coming. And then I run up to the staff meeting, and then I seem to go, I'm like a doctor's surgery, I go late one thing after the other, and then eventually it's 5 o'clock, I get in my car, I go home, I walk the dog again, I spend some time talking to my parents, I have dinner, I have to do some study because I'm studying part-time. So I do my studies and I have to watch an episode of my favorite TV show. So I do that and then it's time for bed and then it starts all over again the next day. And so what I find is sometimes I have not allowed the time that is needed for an interruption, because interruptions are time stealers. Interruptions rob us of our time. And if we've only got a certain number of hours in the day, that means we've only got a certain number of hours to get our to-do list crossed off. Now, in this room, I am sure, hands up if you like your to-do list, you make a list. Hands up if you're that sort of person. Well done. And there's nothing There's nothing more satisfying, am I right, in crossing something off that to-do list? Well, one day, Tim, I will get something crossed off my list, I promise. But, you know, I find interruptions, when they're not calculated into the day, my productivity suffers, my attitude suffers, everything starts to suffer because of unexpected interruptions. Because we all have a goal, we all have a to-do list we're trying to get done. Now, I've also noticed in when it comes to interruptions, for those of you who have got small children, my heart goes out to you. Because sometimes I'm usually sitting outside with parents and they've got their small kids and they'll say, can we meet outside at Gateway? Because their kids are running all over the place. And this is constantly how the conversation goes. Oh, excuse me, Timmy, can't you see I'm talking? Don't be rude, I'm talking, just wait till I'm finished. And the child, Timmy, for example, he's coming up, it feels like every 30 seconds, Mummy, I want a cookie, I'm hungry. Mummy, I want to go to the toilet. And I've got this poor parent standing there, sitting there with me going, okay, I'm sorry, and they're apologizing profusely. And so from the time we're born, we're taught that interruptions are even rude. Not only are they annoying, not only do they steal our productivity, not only are they robbers of time, but at times they are just plain rude. And so where I see interruptions in my daily life as inconveniences, where I see interruptions as all of those things, time stealers, stopping me achieving my goals, stopping me getting accomplished my to-do list, I wonder if God views interruptions the same way as I do. Because when I look at the life of Jesus, Jesus came to this earth fully human, fully God. Tim read this morning from Philippians. He emptied himself of his divinity. He lived as one of us. When I look at Jesus' life, I see someone who lived a much busier life than me. If anyone lived a busy life, especially his 3 years of ministry, Jesus was going non-stop. And what I see when I examine the scriptures, story after story after story, I see Jesus nonstop facing interruptions. Where he tries to escape, to spend some time by himself, he's interrupted. No matter what he's doing, he seems to be interrupted. And it almost seems that the ministry of Jesus is actually in the interruptions themselves. And so I find that quite interesting that Jesus, being fully human, called us to come, follow me, be like me, which meant deal with interruptions the way he did. And yet I find I'm like this t-shirt I came across. It made me laugh. The problem is I want to follow Jesus, but I at the same time want to slap people. Do you relate? Do I get any amens to that? You know, especially when it comes to interruptions. People driving too slow, people talking too long at the checkout. Have you ever been in the checkout line and then the person in front of you, you know, starts to, when it's time to pay, instead of being ready with their card, they start fumbling through their purse, looking for their card. And I just want to slap them in Jesus' name. Aren't you glad I'm a pastor here at Gateway? You know, I wonder if Jesus ever got frustrated, honestly, because he was like me, fully human. Did he ever get frustrated? Did he ever think it's an inconvenience? Did he ever think it's plain rude? And don't they know I've got more important things to do than deal with what they're wanting to get done? Yet when I look at the life of Jesus, when I look at stories in the Bible, I see a God who does not view interruptions the way I do. He saw them instead as divine opportunities. He saw them as opportunities to minister the truth, the hope, and the love of God the Father to the people around him. Let's just look at a couple examples from Scripture. In Luke chapter 8, we're told the story of how Jesus has just cast out from the demoniac a demon. He's cast the demons into the herd of pigs that have run in and drowned in the water. And the story goes on in Luke chapter 8, when the people of that region saw what happened, they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region because they were frightened. And so Jesus gets in a boat, he crosses to the other side of the lake. And let's pick the story up in Luke chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles, Luke 8, and we're going to pick it up in verse 41. A very well-known story. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Jesus to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. Now, Jairus, we know he's a synagogue leader, which means he's a religious man. He is well known in that community. And this wasn't just him saying, "Jesus, come because my daughter's sick." It was, "My daughter is dying." Now, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine your daughter is dying and you know you need Jesus, your last hope, to come, and he agrees to do so. And so you start to make your way through the crowd, but we're told the crowds are almost crushing him. Now, I used to live and work in Bombay, a city of about 22 million people. That, put it in context, that's like getting the whole of Australia and putting them in one city. And I want to tell you, I know that feeling of being almost crushed by crowds, because you only need to catch the train at peak hour in Mumbai to know the crowd's almost crushing you. There are people everywhere. If you stand still, you almost get picked up and carried. That's how many people there are. I have the benefit, bit bigger in many ways. I just, with Indians, I have a way of getting around. But I tell you, the crowd's almost crushing you. You can barely move. You can barely walk through the crowds. And this is the scene that is going on. Jairus has pleaded. They're trying to fight their way through the crowd to get to his daughter. And this daughter, we know, is dying. And let's pick it up, verse 43. So as they're walking through this big crowd, time is of the essence. A woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking to her, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Think about it. They're on their way. They're dealing with the crowds. Jairus is an important person. He's got a goal. Think about it, parents. He's got a goal. He's got something that they need to achieve, which is saving his daughter. And instead, what we see Jesus, it's like he's moseying along, being almost crushed by the crowd. And it's like, in my thinking, doesn't he get this is a life and death scenario? He needs to get a wriggle on to this 12-year-old girl. But then an interruption comes. Again, one of many interruptions. A woman who is bleeding, an outcast, someone that is unnoticed, someone who is actually pushed to the edges of society, someone who is unclean by nature of her illness of bleeding, reaches out her hand just by the fact she's in the crowd. She's touching all those people, because when you're in a crowd, every body part is touching. It's very uncomfortable. And she's making people unclean, and she has the audacity to reach out and make the rabbi, Jesus, unclean. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't get annoyed. He doesn't get impatient and go, "Hey, woman, I'm on an important task to go somewhere to do something to someone that is more important than you." Think about it. She's been bleeding for 12 years. This little girl who is 12 years old was born at the same time that this lady started bleeding. Now, if I was Jesus, I would have triaged the whole situation and went, okay, old lady, young girl, dying, bleeding, while the bleeding lady can bleed a bit longer because this is more important. You know, triage, that's what's happening in Queensland hospitals with our ramping system. I know that experience. I went once with my finger nearly cut off from a blender and I needed all these stitches, and I sat in the waiting room at the QE2 hospital for 6 hours because I was triaged as unimportant and unnoticed. And, you know, other people are coming in, and I sat there with my blood-soaked tea towel around my finger. Jesus didn't treat the woman like that. He didn't give greater attention to the young one, to the important daughter of an important man. Jesus didn't weigh up the pros and the cons, which life had greater worth, which life had more value. One is dying. Surely that was of greater importance. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't go, okay, this is annoying and frustrating that you're hindering me and touching my cloak and making me unclean. Jesus instead stops and he interacts with this woman because she mattered to Jesus. All people mattered to Jesus, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of their conditions. Jesus knew the expectation of people upon him. Jesus knew the time restrictions of time being the essence to get and heal this girl. Yet Jesus stops and he interacts with someone in pain. And Jesus notices the pain of all those around him. And yet, in the midst of a busy ministry schedule, he stops and he heals and he blesses people. A few weeks ago, or a few months ago, I had to go to Toowoomba for some meetings. And I was actually leading the meetings. There was a whole group of ministries and churches gathering in Toowoomba. I left early in the morning, and because it was quite early and we know that I tend to run late with things, I didn't have time to have the fruit of the vine. I don't mean the fruit of the vine, I meant coffee. And I'm in the car and I thought, okay, I've got 5 minutes. On the outskirts of Toowoomba is a McDonald's. And so I thought, I'll get a coffee. As I pulled into McDonald's, knowing I had about 5 minutes of free time, I noticed there was a woman standing at the back of a ute with a man beside her. And she was crying. And I could, as I pulled in beside them, I could see she was crying and the man had his hand on her shoulder. And so, you know, I got out of the car and I'm right there beside the ute where she's crying, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I wonder if I should stop and ask. No. You know, this is all happening simultaneously because I've got to go and get my cup of coffee. It's really important. And as I'm coming out, I notice she's there by herself. The man has left or gone somewhere, and it's all happening simultaneously. I'm thinking, okay, should I stop and talk to this lady? And, you know, being the pastor that I am, I just jumped in my car because I rationalize I need to get to the meeting, so I've got all these people waiting for me. And the man's got it. And so I jumped in the car and off I raced to my meeting. The whole day, I felt so bad. I felt disappointed in myself. I felt I'd missed it. And if I could do it all over again, I would have changed my response. And, you know, I realized through that, we live in a world where people are all around us. People may not be, well, they may be bleeding for 12 years, but people are in pain all around us. Every day, every moment, we live in a world of people that need encounters with the living God. People who are in pain, people who are unnoticed, people who are forgotten and overlooked. Just this past week, just this week gone by, I had a group of people coming to my house for dinner, and I had to stop on my way home from work to buy some roti because we were having Indian food. And I ran into Woolies, and I only had a few minutes, and I wanted to buy this roti, so I ran to the roti spot in the store. And talk about annoying and frustrating. Doesn't it frustrate you if any of you are Coles or Woolly workers? Please hear my complaint. When they shift the groceries, you know, you mapped out the store, you know where things are in the store. You've only got a couple of minutes, so you run in, and then instead of the roti, there's Easter eggs. So then you wander up and down the aisles trying to find the roti, getting more frustrated, more annoyed because you're running out of time. And then I thought, okay, be calm. Just ask one of the Woolly workers. Look in the aisles. Find a Woolly worker, and they can tell you where the rotis are. So I found this girl, and I said, excuse me, I'm in a hurry. Can you tell me where the rotis are? And then I noticed this girl. She said, oh, they're in aisle 5 or whatever, on the left-hand side. But I could see her eyes were all bloodshot and puffy, and you could see she'd been crying. Now, I had a decision to make. Do I just rush off to aisle number 5 and get my rotis? Or, you know, I've learned my lesson from Toowoomba. I stopped and I said, you look as though you're having a hard day. And she said, yeah, I am. I said, silly question, but I said, are you okay? Is there something can I help you in some way? And she said, no, it's fine. I'm okay. Thank you for asking. And I said, well, can I pray for you? Now, you know, you're in the middle of Woolies. So naturally, she turned to me. She said, oh, no, it's okay. Thank you. And I said, well, look, I am going to pray for you anyway. So I'm just going to pray that you have a better day. And I walked off to get the rotis. But again, you know, we live busy lives, all of us. And just like Jesus, however, this is where I differ. Jesus always stopped. Jesus always took the time. Jesus always noticed those in pain that were all around him. And I realized I needed to have a heart that stopped, that actually was kind and gracious to people to interrupt my day, to interrupt my precious time to actually minister to the people that God brought along my path. You know, when I look at Jesus, I see a God not only who stopped and ministered when an interruption came, but I also see a God throughout Scripture that not only was interrupted, but I see story after story of a God who interrupts people's lives as well. People who are going on in their life and a God who steps in with what feels like an interruption. We only need to hear the testimony of all that Liz and Rob have been walking through. I'm sure they never planned that into their to-do list, into their plan of life. But then an interruption comes, and it's not just a small thing. An interruption comes that stops us mid-track from what it is that we think we're headed into, from our plans and our purposes. And we only again need to look at stories like in Acts chapter 9, the story of Saul, who later became Paul, on the road to Damascus. We know in that story he's off to persecute the Jews, to get the Jews, and he sees a bright shining light. and he's blinded. It's the Lord God, Jesus himself, in that light, and he is blinded, and he's told to go to Damascus and to wait in the city. And meanwhile, somewhere else in the city is a man just going about his day, a man named Ananias in Luke chapter 9. Ananias is just living his life, and then God breaks in, interrupts his day, interrupts his to-do list, interrupts his plans and purposes for that day. And God tells him, Ananias, I want you to go to a certain street, and I want you to go to a certain house, because there's someone there you need to pray for. There is someone there you need to lay hands on and speak hope and speak truth to them. I often wonder, how sensitive am I? Would I be like Ananias and hear God's voice and be aware that that was God speaking to me? That I would be close enough to the Lord to respond? That I would be open enough to be interrupted by the Lord when he calls me? You know, for those of you who have tracked with me over the years, I ministered in India and lived in India for many years. And one of the ministries that I worked with quite often was Mother Teresa's institutes or homes for the dead and the dying. And she had a home for children. These weren't any children. Many of the children in Mother Teresa's orphanages were children that had been abandoned, literally picked up out of the rubbish. Most of them were having physical complications, deformities, crippled, and many of them learning disabled. And we would go, our team, and we would go once a week and help feed the children, help the Sisters of Mercy with bathing the children and dressing them. And we saw it as really a significant ministry, because not only did we get to bless and pray for the children, but lots of people would come from all over the world to volunteer at Mother Teresa's orphanages. And we saw a lot of these people, they were humanitarian, their heart motivation was humanitarian. And so it was a real opportunity to speak and to share our testimonies of why we were there. And so this particular day I worked a lot with a young boy named Ashok. Well, he wasn't that young, he was 14 years old, severely crippled, verbally he couldn't speak. And the sisters, he was quite a bright young lad. The Sisters of Charity had made him a word chart, and they had words in English and Hindi on his chart. And Ashok would point to words and communicate like that. And so over the months, I had taken this chart and I had made a chart version 2, a brighter, bigger chart. I put more words in it. I put stickers on it. I had it laminated. And Ashok would sit there and use the chart to speak. And this one particular day, I'm sitting with Ashok, and I'm feeding Ashok, and one of the volunteers, a young girl from Norway, was sitting opposite me feeding a baby. And so we started talking, because that's part of our goal, is to share with people working in the orphanage. And as I started sharing with her, I saw an opportunity to share my testimony about what Jesus had done in my life. And so I was just sharing the gospel with this young girl as I was feeding Ashok. But the whole time I'm feeding Ashok, he's flinging his arms all over the place. Food's going in all directions. I got food in my hair. I got food all over me. Food's going everywhere except in his mouth. And I'm getting quite frustrated, I must admit. And I'm just like trying to feed, you know, suffer the little children, come unto me. I'm just trying to feed Ashok this food instead of having it flying everywhere as I'm sharing the gospel with this girl. Well, eventually she finishes feeding the baby. She gets up and she politely excuses herself. And then I put my focus on Ashok. And I go, Ashok, you need to calm down. Just stop waving your arms all over the place as I'm trying to feed him the food. And then I realize he's actually waving his arms all over the place because he's actually trying to point to words on his chart. So then I look at what he's trying to point to. And he points to why Jesus die. Why Jesus die. The whole time, I was so focused on what I thought was the goal, which was this young Norwegian volunteer. The whole time, I had my focus and my energy on this person. I didn't even notice Ashok waving his arms at me, crying out to know why Jesus died. The fact is, you and I, we live in a world today where people are waving their arms, crying out to know who Jesus is. We live in a world today where people like the lady at Toowoomba are in pain, people that feel unnoticed, people that don't know what kindness is, people who don't know what compassion is. I watched a video just on Instagram yesterday. A lady was filming someone at a check-in at an airline counter, and the lady filming said, "I hope you don't mind, I'm filming you. I just want the world to see a kind person. Why are you kind?" And this checkout lady, well, she wasn't a checkout, the check-in lady was just saying, "Well, I do what I love, and I just want to help people." And I thought to myself, we live in a world today where we are so busy, where we are so uninterruptible, where we are so focused on what we think needs to happen, what we need to get done, to cross off our to-do list. We don't have time because we're too busy to even look at a person, never mind notice them. And people today are waving their arms, and maybe like me, they're annoying us. They're being inconvenient. And maybe that behavior is they're drinking too much, or they've got an anger, or they've got an addiction. And we think, why can't they just get over it? And behind the addiction, behind the retail therapy, the pornography, the drinking, the busyness, whatever's going on is somebody crying out in pain, waving their arms saying, "Will someone just notice me? Will somebody stop and show me some kindness?" Not so that we put it on Instagram because, wow, we've never seen someone be kind in our world and we just need to record it and put it on Instagram. What sort of world do we live in? What sort of Christian am I that says I want to follow Jesus but I just want to slap people because they annoy me? What sort of world do you and I live in? And I believe this morning, the word of the Lord to each and every one of us, let it start with me, is that we would be a people that would actually stop when an interruption comes, that we would stop and see the pain, that we would stop and see the person, that we would stop and speak a word of life, a work of hope, a word of encouragement, instead of being annoyed and frustrated by an interruption. Because again, Jesus ministered through the interruptions. What is God calling you and I to this week, today? Who are the people in your life that you don't even notice? Who are the people He's calling you to actually see them and speak a word of life and hope and truth to? We live in a hurting world that if we just stopped. And this morning, I want us just to do some business with the Lord. And only you know what God could be saying to you. If you're someone that is annoyed and frustrated by interruptions, if you're someone like me, sometimes I just need to close the door in my office, or better still, work from home so I'm not interrupted. Maybe God, He wants me to be interruptible because there is a world trying to break in that I would be like Jesus. So this morning, I want to invite you to stand. If we could all stand. I want to invite you this morning to take a minute or two just to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to do business with you Are you someone he can break in and interrupt? Are you someone that will actually stop and notice people around you? I want to invite you this morning, as you do business with God, and I'm going to pray in a little while, just to say, Father, would you help me this week? Would you help me today to posture my heart to be open to the hurting world that I live in, and to respond and to stop when the interruptions come?
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here.
Of a human being to a human being, to bring a message of hope, to bring a message of healing to those around us that are simply having bad days. Father, we thank you that even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. Father, help us to be your people this week, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you are.
Binds up the brokenhearted. You are the one that sets the prisoners free. You are the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We ask, Holy Spirit, that we would be men and women that go into all the world and stop and notice when the interruptions come, that these are divine connection moments to plant a seed, to bring a drop of hope and kindness to a world in pain. Would you help us to do it this week? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, church, that's the end of our time. May you go forward this week and be interrupted. This today, be interrupted and see it as a moment to bring the words of hope and truth to a world around us. Have a great week. If you would like prayer, if you would like anyone to be praying for you, we have a prayer team. Feel free to come forward, but have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us online.